Blog Talk Radio.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice.
Hallelujah. 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 Shalom. I'm Brother Shabael, your host from Beth Yahweh Congregation from Baltimore, Maryland. Under the tutelage of Yahkael ben Gershom ben Daniel, HaMashiach Yahushua, our spiritual leader. I'm coming to you tonight on Lakadesh Tova, one of the 12th month of Yahweh's Gregorian calendar, the last month of Yahweh's Gregorian calendar. Tonight is the first day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, Yahweh's Gregorian calendar. Excuse me, on Yahweh's calendar. Today is the first day of the 12th month of Adar on Yahweh's calendar, the creator of heaven and earth. Today is the 22nd of February, the second month on the Gregorian calendar. Now, again, apologize for that. I'm your host, Brother Shabbat. Government name known as Brother Rob. Some may know me as that. As we always encourage you to have with you your study tools, but my main tool that I hope you have, if you don't have anything else, have your Bible with you so you can follow along. I'm going to open up with a blessing. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and the mighty one of our forefathers, and inaugurate for us this month for good and for blessing, for joy and for gladness, for salvation and for consolation, for sustenance and support, for good life and peace, for pardon of sin, and forgiveness of iniquity. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, who sanctifies Israel and the new moon. Hallelujah. While we're still in prayer, I want to open up in a prayer. Father, Yah, forgive me of my sins and trespasses. Thank you for waking me today. Give me another chance. Thank you for allowing me to see this first day of this 12th month out of Yah. That decreases and you can increase and you pour into me what you feel you need, that needs to be delivered. Well, Yah, continue to bless, watch over our spiritual leaders, leading God here. Watch over all our Kohanes, strengthen them when they're weak. Continue to ease their minds and help give them your word. Strengthen all the ones that are in ailments. Continue to strengthen them, Sister Debbie. I call Debbie. I call Naomi. She recovered. Continue to strengthen the Barrett family as they all are recovering with I call Naomi. Our prayers go out to strengthen the Clapperton family. Aki Shuffle-Well from the Garfield, his mother, is in the hospital right now as we gathering together on this new moon. May your strengthen their family. May your will be done, Father God. Watch over all our children and our loved ones and siblings. Watch over all our Zakins. Continue to strengthen them and give them the wisdom so they can share their wisdom with us. Watch over all the young brothers and sisters in the congregation so they can hold on and stand fast in your word. And anything I forgot to pray for, Father God, and you pray and answer in your due time. But Yahweh will be done. In the name of your son, Yahushua, our soon coming king and redeemer. Amen. Shalom, family. If you can hear me, somebody send me a thumbs up. I know I should have said, ask for that verse. Shalom. Tonight is the first of Adar. You'll find a list of the months as you hear me say it over and over, but we learn from repetition. And so first time listening audience, they may never heard of Adar or where that's coming from. It's nothing that we make up. It's in the word of Yahweh. You'll find that in Esther, the book of Esther, chapter 3, verse 7. You'll see that it lists the months. It's during a time. This month here is a commemorable celebration of the children of Israel. Not a holy day, not a high holy day, but it's a commemorable celebration of Purim on the 14 days from the day, 14th and the 15th is a two-day memorial of Purim. You'll see that story in the book of Esther. Once again, Israel was facing annihilation. But once again, Yahweh prevailed using Esther. That's why the book is called Esther. She was the niece of Mordecai, and she became the reigning queen. And she spoke when it was necessary to speak. She spoke, it's like we always say at Beth Yahweh, who speaks for Yahweh? Who speaks for Israel in these times that we are in now? And Esther had to speak for Israel at that appointed time. And by her speaking, instead of holding her peace, Israel prevailed. Not Israel would have been annihilated. So once again, it shows that Yahweh, he's the host. Yahweh, he fights the battles. We just have to be obedient and listen and be spirit-filled and spirit-led by him. And lean not on our own understanding, but acknowledge him. He shall direct our path, as it says in Proverbs chapter 3. What I want to do, I happened to listen to my lesson last week. I want to correct some things. The last new moon lesson. It really wasn't a lesson. It was just things that I was going over during that week. But I had stayed, was set out with the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel, chapter 24, the last chapter of that book. And that what I was mentioning about how David, I was doing comparisons with King David, how he violated a command of Yahweh. Yahweh told him he had specifics to follow also. Yahweh shows he's no respect for a person. And if you remember, this archive, I mentioned that David violated, not the violation of when he was with Bathsheba. That was he also violated there also. But I had came in from out of 2 Samuel chapter 24 with David. Did a census of the children of Israel. And I did a comparison how Moshe, another man, because men of God, people of God, how Moshe violated Yahweh also. Not the offense that when he should have spoken to the rock to sanctify Yahweh in front of the children of Israel. But when he did not circumcise his son. Because that was a command, a sign that Yahweh put forth that he wanted that to be done for Israel, set apart people. And what I want to correct is I was telling people to go for the David account. I was telling people to go to 2 Chronicles 24. No, that wasn't it. It was 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1, where you can see more of a detail, because the book of Chronicles goes more in depth of an occurrence than the books itself may be in, like, 2 Samuel chapter 24, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. And you will see where it says, when you read it, and so the books will say. All his accounts you will find and read them in Chronicles. And what is important was, I didn't want listeners to take what I said wrong, because I kept saying 2 Chronicles 24, and that had nothing, that had nothing to do with the 2 Samuel chapter 24, when David did a census on the people. And I brought out in that chapter, in speaking on that, what he violated was Exodus. You find that in Exodus chapter 30, verse 11 through 16. Only Yahweh gives, we have to be obedient in all that we do. And what came to my mind to go back over this, Brother Dale Well did a lesson so eloquently. This first segment of his 6 weeks, the last Sabbath was the second week, and just looking forward to this third segment. But his first segment, he had mentioned Elijah. Rabbi also mentioned Elijah in this segment. And what came to my mind was that what people don't realize is, like, a lot of people say, well, it doesn't matter what day you worship him. You can choose your day. But it do matter. God is a God of specific, if not, he would not specify through his prophets, his spokesman. In that, what I got out of Brother Dale Well and Brother Yaakel, the teaching 2 Sabbaths ago, what I got out of that was that if Elijah wasn't obedient to the word of God in specifics, he would have starved to death. And so how you figure that, Brother Shabel? Remember, he was told it was not going to rain. He was told to tell Ahab it's not going to rain 3.5 years. And so Yahweh gave him provisions and told him to go, told him to go to the ravine where the raven would bring him his food. And he had to be obedient to that, because if he did, he would have starved to death. I wrote something down. Right. Basically, this will say he had to be obedient to Yahweh, because if he didn't listen to the specific, suppose he had to went to another river, another source, like we hear in Calvin about Naaman, the leper. When he was told by Elijah, he was told that he'd be healed, you had to dip, you know. He was like, well, isn't it other rivers more cleaner than that river? See, that's why I go to show Yahweh a God of specific. In man's eyes, there's a Proverbs 16, there's a way to seem right, but that way leads to death. We remember Yahweh created everything. The same Yahweh in Exodus chapter 15, was Exodus chapter 15, when they was leaving, when they had left the Exodus, when they came up to a source of water, a river where the waters was bitter, Yahweh told Moses to put a tree in the water, and by putting a tree in the water got sweet and purified. It made it palatable for them to drink. So that's the same instance that we see with Elijah. First Kings chapter 17, because you have to understand Isaiah 55, Yahweh's ways are much higher than our ways. And so if he had went to a brook where he felt as though was more cleaner, or he may have felt that the surroundings around it were more comfortable, that would have been disobedient to Yahweh. He would have perished. So getting back to correcting something I said last moon. I guess you can say that many moons ago, but no, it wasn't many moons, just one moon. I read something out of one translation. The Second Samuel, when you read it, because this would be a good learning to go through the Word of Yahweh, because we deal with people nowadays that's not they just read the Word of Yahweh and take it as what is, you know, right on the pages instead of asking for guidance and how to pull from it. Excuse me. In 2 Samuel, you know that, it said the angel of Adonai blazed up against Israel. So he moved David to act against them by saying, go take a census of Israel. So David commanded Joab, the commander of the army, who was with him, he told him, go out through the tribe, you know, take the census. And as I was bringing out last time, it's good to have somebody on your team that's not a yes man or a yes woman, someone that's going to stand firm and stand in the ways of Yahweh and tell you, like, no, we can't do that. Because sometimes you be under the attack from Hasatan, from Satan, and not be aware of it. For instance, when Yahshua said, I must go and lay down my life, but the Father will give you power to raise it up. And Peter said, no such thing. And what he had to tell Peter, get behind thee, Satan. Because he knew this has to be, he had to go forth through this to fulfill the prophecy, the word of Yah, so all mankind can be redeemed. So what we read in 2 Samuel, we say, the anger of Yahweh burned against Israel, and he incited David against them, saying, go and take up a census of Israel. No, Yahweh wouldn't do that. But that's why I said, I want to clear that up when I heard that last week. He said, well, that's what it says, brother. Well, we're going to go see. That's why I said, 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1. When you read it in 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1, it says this. I'm going to read this out of this Bible. I'm going to open this Bible up real quick. Okay, 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Verse 1. And 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1. Now listen out, 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1, read verses 2 Samuel, the account of 2 Samuel, chapter 24, verse 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. You say, well, what's the difference? Well, it states the anger of Yahweh blazed up against Israel, but he didn't move David to act against him. He wouldn't tell David to do that. And you say, well, that's what it says. Remember in the book of James, we'll turn that in your hand. In the book of James tells us, it's funny, all this didn't come until I listened to it the next day. I guess what's what I had. Good thing you listen to things. It's like, so I don't like to, I like to clear stuff up, so I'm sorry. I can't let nothing slide or brush nothing under the rug. Okay? Because you never know who might be listening. Now, the book of James in chapter 1, book of James, James says, chapter 1, verse, did I say it right? Yeah, chapter 1, verse. Verse 13, chapter James, Book of James chapter 1, verse 13, it says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of Yahweh. For Yahweh cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. Verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when the lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brother. So why am I bringing that up? Because Yahweh didn't do that to David. That was how Satan came and gave the notion, because as we learn it now with the brothers, Brother Ariel, the training of the mind, his segment, I can't wait to hear him this Shabbat. We say be anxious for nothing, so I'm waiting patiently. This Shabbat evening, this Friday evening, Brother Ariel will be on his third segment. And then Brother Daywell, the following morning, will be on his third set. And Bella's in the mind. If you ain't get a chance, Rabbi Yaakel had one, like a couple months ago, called Human Nature. I'm not finished that one yet. Good stuff. We have to get out of what I'm learning. We can't say the devil made me do it. He can give you some ideas. I'm not saying that. You might say, hold on, Shabbat. Now, he can give you some ideas, but that's where the training of our mind, that's where we had to renew our mind daily and pray without ceasing and have our mind, like Isaiah 26, have our mind set on Yahweh. So we can constantly think of the pureness and the good things of the Most High. Excuse me. Because those are just we heard phases before. The mind is the battlefield. So what we have to realize when we do these things, because Romans tells us, Romans 8, and Paul mentions in Romans 8, because just was in James showing how James clarifies this right here, that what 2 Samuel states is written like, but it's not saying that Yahweh did it. We can go to another. Romans 8:7 tells the carnal mind is enmity against God. So it's not subject to the law. But submission to the Torah keeps the mind in a spiritual state. So therefore, that's why we always have to stay prayed up. Meditate on his word, like Prophet Abel sent out a text this week reminding us that we had to meditate on his word. You know, meditate on his precepts, we know, line upon line, precept upon precept. So another instance, you may see and heard another account where it says, Genesis chapter 22, I believe. I'm going to go there and read that. We'll read that in your head. Genesis 22, you're going to hear something say, come on real quick. Genesis 22, that's the count with Moshe. When Abraham was commanded to offer up Isaac, right? And in chapter 22, it says, I'm going to read it. You're going to hear something in this. Well, there it is again. You said, Yahweh, don't tempt a person. Okay, let me see what it says. Okay. And Abraham, so after these things, right in front of my face. I apologize. I'm looking. First verse. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. It said, I got to just slow down. And it came to pass after these things that Yahweh did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. He said, behold, where I am. He said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. And offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. There's another thing of specifics. Abraham could say, you know, there's a couple of mountains up there. Sure, mountain terrain, plateau. I'm going to go to that mountain. But Abraham, we know Abraham over the time period, we know as we train our minds, as we learn through the IP when he teaches, it's a conditioning. We have to train our minds. We have to be obedient. We have to pay attention to that still small voice and pay attention to the direction that it's leading us. Proverbs 3:3-7, lean not to our own understanding. Trust Yahweh with our whole heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge it. She'll direct your path. So that means not in some things, little things, all things, he will do that. Because as we know, as the story goes, it was a ram caught in the thicket when the angel told Abraham, stop. Don't slaughter Isaac. Now, in this one, yes, I was saying go there. That say Yahweh did tempt. The word tempt in the Hebrew is 52:54, nasah. But see, when you look in the Hebrew, because, you know, we got the original text, original oracles written in the Hebrew language, Hebrew tongue. We learned from our Hebrew teacher, Abel, Rabbi Yaakov. Hebrew is more concrete, see? So that's why it behooves you to learn. I can't speak to you and talk to you about the Orioles and the Ravens and spring training in Hebrew. Not yet. But I do learn, thanks to my Hebrew teachers and the Holy Spirit, that I learn enough that I can look at the scripts, the accounts in the Torahs to see, thus say Yahweh, what's the thought when Yahweh said before it gets, I want to say disseminated or diced up and watered down. That's it. Cause when you get different translations, because there's a lot of translations out here, some of them can just take. I'm going to call one out. I'll never forget instantly, me and brother Ariel. When I first got in the faith, we used to talk almost every day. we both were drivers. So he would text me and say something. Say, man, what's that verse? I sent him something. I said, man, it's like Corinthians 13:5. No, that can't be it. I said, man, what are you talking about? So when I pulled over on the side, guess because the Bible that I had on me, I had a Bible that was a Good News translation. Because I bought that Bible because my son at the time was only something like, 2007? He was, 12 or something, like, yeah, something like that. I apologize. I don't even know how old my son was. It's about 12, 13. But he had that Bible, son. I gave him that Bible for me, like 10. Because it was an easy, but it was like, had illustrations and, you know, like, they made it more adaptable for a child, you know, cause to get them interest, because, you know, it had, like, action figures, with biblical action figures. But the wording of it was, and I guess they broke it down, watered it down like that, so it'd be like it says, a child would be able to understand. But one thing I come to learn with the word of Yahweh, his word is for a child to understand. If you just continue to pray and allow his Holy Spirit to give you the interpretation of it, like 2 Peter 1:19-20. Not written of no private interpretation. Just allow Yahweh to explain the word, elaborate on it, and he'll send you someone your way that's set under someone that will be able to break it down. So there's no need to really take the word of Yah and dissemble it and reconstruct it, because see, now you put it's not inspired anymore. Like it's been explained by instruction. You're putting it in your way because you want it to sound up to the king's or the queen's English. And that's not good, because it take the whole thought. But the verse was, examine yourself. I think that's 2 Corinthians 13. 5, well, 1 Corinthians 13, 5. And that was the verse Brother Ernie wanted, but I told him, I read to him when I was at the red light, because he was at a stop. He said, I said, well, let me pull over. He said, yeah, me too. I said, give it to me. He said, no, that ain't it. Well, look, I get back with you. That ain't it. At least I got a thought, but no, I know that can't be it. So I'm like, what are you talking about? So when I got to my delivery and I wanted my bag, I carried other Bibles too. I had that Bible out because I was doing my devotion with my son. And that's the Bible. Because see, that Bible, I could actually tell him to turn the back page. Because, you know, by that being the same Bible, like right now, this one Bible I have, page 301, is 2 Samuel chapter 24. This other Bible that I got right here, 301 is 1 Samuel chapter 2. So that was the reason why I had bought that Bible. So me and my son both, well, I tell him, like, turn this page. Man, he can find it. But any read. But I'm just using that for example, how translations can take away from the thought of Yah, and a person will miss the whole, blessing, the whole instructions that you need to be fully furnished in the word of Yah, like I said, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. So 52:54, the word tempt that we see in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, we say Yahweh tempted Abraham. Like I said, Nasa. Say to test, to prove, to tempt, put to proof or test, to attempt, to test, try, prove. Ancient Hebrew literature Bible, it says the picture is a seed, which we know that's the Nun, representing continuous. And then there's a picture of the thorn, representing the idea of grabbing hold. So combining these meanings, to continue to grab hold. The tribal flag that is hung from a horizontal pole is up high and seen from a distance. So what we have to understand and get from that is to continue to grab hold of what? The word of Yah. That's what proves us. That's what tests us. So Yahweh wasn't going to have Abraham, because I know some people say, well, why did he tell Abraham to go kill his son? And Yahweh say, thou should not murder. Right. See, Yahweh say, thou should not murder. So why would he tell Abraham to sacrifice his son? It was all to show, to give us a vivid picture of what he was going to do in the future years. He illustrated it through Abraham by being what? Having Isaac, the promised son. At a late, you know, at the stage of past childbirth, year and years, him and Sarah, and how the ram was caught in the thick. I said, your son, go take Isaac, your son, to the mountain, your son that you love, take him to the mountain. And then what did he say? The angel said, stop. You see how obedient Abraham would be? Like, you really gonna go through this? And the importance of what? Listening to that small voice, because if he wasn't listening, we had to proceed and sacrifice on it. But he listened attentively. And so by him doing that, still listening to the ways of Yah, because I'm sure in his mindset he was like, you want me to sacrifice my son? My son? But he did how Yahshua did in the garden. He said, nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. So he still kept proceeding. And what it showed, it was not a moment of doubt. He had trained his mind, like what I'm getting out of Yari. That's how I got to this with Brother Ariel, Brother Daniel, Rabbi, and I'm teaching the Hebrew Nation. Where he put his trust in Yahweh so much, it said, you read that in Hebrews chapter 11. It said, where he believed, his faith constituted him as righteous. See, a lot of people use Abraham, and we blessed in the city, cursed out in the field. You know, everybody claiming the blessings of Abraham. I say everybody, like Christians, Muslims, and all that, but they're not being obedient like Abraham.
in the book of James chapter 2, he'll break that right down. He did those things, not just, yes, it was faith, but he also, like James said, show me your faith with no works. He followed through with them, and Yahweh saying, remember, Yahweh knows all man's thoughts. That's in Proverbs chapter 6, or the 6 or chapter 16, chapter 16. Yahweh knows a man's thoughts. So you can't fool Yahweh. But Yahweh knew, like, okay, he's getting that. And when he had that thought come across his mind, his training mind, he said, you know what? Guess he started thinking about all the things Yahweh brought him through. He left Ur, his fatherland, kept on back, back, back. Circumcision, back, 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 back. Delivered him out of Amalek, Gera. Remember that was in Genesis chapter 20, brother? They will brought that out, you know, back, back, back. And the whole time, you know, all these things going in his mind. Man, okay, back, back, back. Yahweh came and met him. He's thinking. So when he's thinking about it, he's like, okay, we had to be what the word say, be fully persuaded. James tell you, James said, I want a double-minded man. Can't, you know, it's not worthy of Yahweh. So he's fully persuaded, and Yahweh knew this now. See, Yahweh know our thoughts. That's why it's good for us to get in our training, stay in his precept, and ask him to keep leading his guidance, leading out to your own understanding, and show me Yahweh. And that's how we build up. That's how we get strong. And so Abraham got to the, you know, his faith got strong. He's like, you know what? Yahweh gave him to me. Sort of like how Job said, a good Lord give it to me. The Lord bless me. He was like to the point where he knew that if I do sacrifice him, if this Yahweh will, which I don't understand, sometime in our lives we'll understand. If this Yahweh will, you know what, I'm going to do it. But I believe that Yahweh, because he created all, and he has showed me, I believe he'll bring Isaac back. And that's why Yahweh told the angel, tell him, stop, stop, don't touch him. I know now, I know you love me. See, so a lot of times people talk, but it's Yahweh wants to see, like he said, Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah said, people worship me with their lips, but their minds, they say their heart, but their minds is far away from me. They're not obedient to it. They verbally say it. That's why he tells us in his word. And what was it, letter 1 John or 2 John, Deuel, area 1, that be not just be doers of the word. I mean, well, James said not just be doers, hearers of the word, but be doers. But also 1 John, in the letters of John, 1 John, 2 or 3 John, it said be doers in word and in deed. So as believers, we had to do, because our actions, we're being watched. We're on a stage. We're on a pedestal. That's why he's made us a peculiar people. We're being watched. That's why the sisters, he wants you to veil when you kicking that word, when you prophesize and talking that word to someone, another sister. The brother, that's why he wants us to have friends. He wants us to be, we're his jewels and we're a spectacle to the world. So nobody can ever make excuses and say they didn't know. And so when Abraham did that, that's when Yahweh, verse 11, Genesis 23, Yahweh called out to him, say, Abraham, stop. He said, here I am. He said, don't touch him. I know that thou fearest Yahweh, seeing that thou not withheld thou son, thou only son. But getting back to David, like I said, he violated, and I gave the wrong text to go look through that because that's why I came back today and cleared that up. That was 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1. And then something else Yahweh let me see, I had to teach this passage by. Was it something else I was supposed to put on? Oh, well, we already discussed that. I don't think I messed that up. What Yahweh told the seer Gad to go back and tell David to choose which one of the three Yahweh offered him that he had to pay for his sin, because see, his judgment was coming from numbering Israel. And
we know that you, we read that account last week. I read that. I don't think I messed that up. David said, instead of me falling in the hands of man, I rather fall in the hands of Yahweh. And then we see when David go to First Chronicles chapter 21. Let me go ahead real quick. Bible first. And like I said, First Chronicles chapter 21, verse 7. It said Yahweh was displeased with, you know, for David going out asking Joab to count all the men of Israel. Not supposed he should he didn't supposed to do that because Yahweh fights the battle, so he wouldn't, you know, get picked big up and get, you know, puffed up, you know, thinking like I did this, or my, you know, I'm commanding them very well. I'm a good general, knowing the whole time, you know, that Yahweh the general. As if God was displeased with him for doing this, therefore he punished Israel. And see, we can learn from that that because of someone else's act, you can cause others to fall. And we know what that goes back to, the garden. But the key, what we can see in that, David always repent. He said, I greatly sinned by doing this. And he asked, he said, put aside your servant's sin, for I have done a very foolish thing. And Gad told David, Yahweh said, I'm offering you a choice of three punishments. Choose one of them. And then that's when Gad told David, you know, you make the choice of the three, famine, 3 years of famine, 3 months of being swept away by your enemies while your enemy's sword overwhelms you, or 3 days of Adonai's sword, plague in the land, with the angel Adonai destroying everywhere in Israel territory. Now think about answer you should give to the one who sent me. And David said to Gad, it's very hard for me. Let me fall into the hand of Yahweh, because his mercies are very great. This came to my mind when Dale Well was reading Lamentations 3 this Sabbath, last Sabbath morning. Rather than have me fall into the hand of man. So Yahweh sent the plague of Israel. 70,000 people of Israel died. God also sent the angel to destroy Jerusalem. But when he was about to carry out the destruction, Yahweh saw it and changed his mind about the causing such distress. So he said to the destroyer angel, enough, now withdraw your hand. The angel of Yahweh was standing at the threshing floor, Ornan, to Jezebel. David raised his eyes and saw the angel of Adonai standing between the earth and the sky, and in his hand was drawn a sword stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the leaders wearing sackcloth fell on their faces. David said to Yahweh, wasn't it I who ordered the census of the people? So David accepting that he's the one who sinned and not wanting the people to suffer for his mishaps. Yes, I am the one who has sinned and done something very wicked. But these sheep, what have they done? Please let your hand be against me and the father's family, but not against your people, striking them with this plague. So Yahweh's mercy stopped the angel, because as we've seen in the verse, the angel was going to continue on, but then Yahweh, like David had said, he never fall into Yahweh's hand of mercy to man, because man is not merciful like Yahweh. Then the angel of Yahweh ordered Gad to tell David to go set up an altar
to Yahweh on the threshing floor on it. David went up to Gad, up at Gad's word and spoke in Yahweh's name. And so if you go on down, when David, he prayed for the threshing floor so that the plague that Yahweh had put over the people, because 70,000 had got murdered, but Yahweh mercy stopped it from destroying more, because he said that the angel was there to do more destruction. And so you go down to verse 24, but the king David said, oh, no, no, I assist, because he wanted to give it to David. Because everybody, you know, was they knew of David. He said, I buy from you at the full price. I refuse to take what is yours for Yahweh or offer a burnt offering, cost me anything. So David bought the place for 600 shekels of gold weight. Then David built an altar of Yahweh that offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. He called Yahweh, who answered him from heaven by fire on the altar from the burnt offerings. And Yahweh gave an order to the angel, put his sword back in his sheath. And when David saw that Yahweh had answered him, all the threshing floor on that Yezer, he sacrificed there. For at the time, the tabernacle of Yahweh, which Moses had made in the desert, together with the altar for burnt offerings, were a high place. But David could not go into his presence to consult Yahweh because the sword of the angel had struck him with terror. So as we can see, by David disobeying, he brought wrath of Yahweh on his subjects. By him being a king, he had the people under him. That's why he said, these sheep haven't done anything. But we can, I admire David for admitting to his sin, because in the garden, when Adam was confronted, he said, the woman you gave me, not picking on Adam, but we can learn from David. And I always wondered about the account. If Adam had to deal with David, just did it and said, okay, it was me. You told me not to not eat the woman. Not the woman you gave. So we can learn from here that when we do sin, that we can repent. Godly sorrow causes repentance, a true repentance where we can do a 180. You don't want to do a 360. That's going right back in the circle. And we can change out, you know, by renewing our minds, exercise. This has been an interesting week because some things transpired on my job Friday. And it's good that we end this, these segments that Rabbi Human Nature, Rabbi Ariel, with the training of the mind. It's been very good because what I'm coming to realize from, you know, past training, being in the Army and playing sports over the years, different levels of sports, that you do have to train. If you want to get good at something and perfect it, you got to train at it. Even in some instances, it hurt. Like I had to be a good infielder. In order to be a good infielder, I had to sometimes ground over 200 ground balls. That was just then. Then when I, you know, you're at school, you're in high school or college. And then when I come home, I had some steps out back. I would go out back. I throw a ball, like a nice hard rubber ball that has some good bounce to it. I would throw that up against the steps and make it bounce a certain way. And my mother would yell out there like, stop that before you miss that ball and bust somebody's car window. Because some people, neighbors used to park out back because they, you know. And me being hard-headed, I kept going, which I shouldn't have done. But I never missed, never broke anybody's window. But this, to say that, though, but to ensure that I would never, that ball wouldn't get by me, because it was a ball that you played lacrosse with. If anybody familiar with a lacrosse ball, it's a hard rubber ball, and it bounces on concrete, like, because it's designed to play on grass or, you know, artificial turf surface. It bounces on that, too, but nowhere compared to when it's on concrete cement. So that's why I use that ball, because it also reminds me of, when I got in front of the ball, I wanted to be a good fielder. You got to keep the ball in front of you. So that means your glove is there to protect it at all times. But if you miss with your glove, it's going to hit off your chest, your body. And so that ball would put me, a tennis ball wouldn't have done that because what I saw, but that Indian rubber ball would feel equivalent to a hard ball. And then it had more bounce. So that's how I became a better infielder. And the pain, before then, when I was 8, my first year playing ball, I got hit in the nose, fractured my nose, and my mother wanted me to quit, and my father came home, said, "You're not playing no baseball, you know." So he's like, "What happened?" She's like, "Look at him." So my nose, black eye, you hit your nose, your eye is black. But she said, he not playing. He said, "When the first game of the season?" I said, "Wednesday." So that was a Saturday. He said, "Mm-hmm." He said, "Well, he got to play the season, man. You start." She said, "What's she say? I'll give you your money back, Rob." Because she thought it was about the money, because, you had to pay when we came out to play Little League. He's like, Shirley, I don't want my money. It's not about my money back. It's that I got to teach him. He's a young man. I was 8, 10. I'm teaching him to be in life. You can't quit when it get a little hard or it may hurt or cause a little friction. And, my mother was mad at my father for a couple of days, whatever, But being a mother, nurturing, you don't want your baby, and I'm a last baby, so I guess that's more special. But she was mad at my pops, but he kept telling me, "You're going to be all right." He said, you can't go through life, son, because it don't go smooth, or the first time something ain't not easy, or you get hurt, you got to stop. He said, "You won't be able to accomplish nothing in life. This right here, you're going to remember this the rest of your life. It's going to prepare you to help your life." And what he wasn't lying, because that right there, I never was scared no more. Because like my brother told me, he said, "What you had to be scared for? You already know how I feel to get hit in the face with a hard ball." So he was like going out there, shorty. So from then on, from 8 years old, nothing ever got past me. If it was in my range, nothing got past me. Because why? My glove didn't catch it, because that was my shield, as my father explained to me. The glove stops everything from happening to you. Never close your eyes. Never turn your head. Use the glove or your bare hand. He's like, "Yeah, it's going to sting, but you don't. It's not going to sting as much as getting hit in your face. You remember getting in your face?" I'm like, "Yes, sir." He's like, "That's it." And that stuck with me the rest of my life. And whatever came, if I can't get it in my glove, my bare hand, my body going to stop it. And that helped me throughout my growing up years, when things came to me in my life that I had to stand up and face some pain whenever it comes. And so that's what we had to realize as believers, and this training in the mind thing. Yeah, because it's easy to say you got something under control or whatever. If nothing is happening, you don't have no tests. And see, these tests that I'll be going through at work, and I'm sure all of us listening always, these not just from the Most High. These from High Satan, because he tried to point the finger and accuse you. So they not coming easy and soft ones, That's where we had to have the training in our mind and pull. That's why we had to renew our minds. That's why we had to keep those scriptures on our minds. Brother Eliezer used to always say, keep God with the forefront of your mind so we can pull back in. Pull those things out when it's needed. That's part of our full arm. But on that, family, it's 9 o'clock. I didn't add enough. I just wanted to clear up that from last new moon, when, in case somebody heard that, and where it's a Yahweh tempted them, make no, Yahweh would never do that. That's when we step out of the ways of Yahweh. That's why we always had to examine ourselves to make sure we don't step out of the ways of Yahweh. That's why we had to go and search through the scriptures to see, find an account. Okay, that's Yahweh. And another note, because 901, what Yahweh showed me with I had to open a book of Revelation, and what he showed me was we started this back in 2000 and what was it? 2011. Yeah, was it 2011? Man, I had it. Yeah, we started this path all the way back in 2011. I think I said that right. What I mean by that, we used to just read the Torah from Genesis to Deuteronomy, and we started over every round, like, you know, Itanim, when we come back from eighth day, or just about finish it up, you know. And but that one year, we kept going. And we still going. And the beauty of it, we're in the book of Hazan now. The last book of this is the Holy Scripture. And we started this journey, like I said, in 2011, 2012, we started this journey. And usually we go back, like I said, we finished Deuteronomy, we'll go back to Genesis, but no, we went to the book of Job. And we've been going ever since. And right now we got 18 more chapters to go, God willing. And it's been a beautiful journey, because I learned so much listening to my fellow brothers and my rabbi when they teach and stuff. And so now when somebody asks a Bible question or something, because most people I've come across, they've been taught that all you need is a New Testament. So now, well, it helped me. I could be able to talk to them, because why they not understanding most everything in the New Testament? It comes from the foundation of the Old Testament. So it's been beautiful that y'all was led our rabbi to make us go through this. And on that note, the book of Revelations, when I didn't see this the Sunday, I reviewed my notes. I was looking at commentators the week before, and I noticed, I was sharing with the brothers, all the commentators, you can't really get a good grasp, because all of them are first-day believers. What I mean by that, they worship on Sunday. They believe Sunday is a Sabbath, a new Sabbath, or whatever. And so, and then most of them, they don't do the dietary laws that Yahweh say. They don't do the new moon, you know, things that Yahweh have in his Old Testament scriptures, which is still his word. So I said, I scratched that lesson. I said, man, I can't get nothing from them. I mean, I could get some crumbs, but I can't get the meat or whatever, you know, the manna, like, because in that book of Revelation, it talked about the manna in the first two chapters. I'm like, I can't get that from commentaries like that, because why? They don't have the spirit of Yahweh in them, because they're not following what you told them to do. They're going, leaning on their own, it's own way, or they making their own form of righteousness. And I said, I can't go that way. That's because they're not doing what Yahweh is saying. So that's why he led me to just read through the Revelation first three chapters, because he explained what it is. The seven stars is the angels, and the menorahs is the assemblies, the churches. And what he showed me Sunday was that, well, I was told to let everyone know, each one of those churches you read, those seven church assemblies, look at yourself or go in there and find when it's asking, when Yahweh was telling them, he was reprimanding them, he was, you know, giving them good report, but then he was telling them, like, find this against your finest, because he was examining them, and I was telling everybody, examine yourself. But if you look at it in those books, everything that he told them, that's why when Paul went on his journey, his first ministries, he went to each place. We got the book of what? Ephesians. The book of what? Colossians. The book of what? Romans. The book of, you follow what I'm saying? Thessalonians. Thessalonians. He went to each one of these places. Galatians. So each one of those places was a church, an assembly, and everything he told them, what he warned them about, was the things that they weren't following the commands, then where were they found at? Everything he told them, new assemblies, if you those assemblies, if you read those books, the places that he went through, wrote the letters to the Ephesians, to the church in Colossians, the church in Galatians. He was reminding them, don't go back to your former ways. You a new man now. You're a new creature. That's why Colossians, people to this day take that Colossians chapter 2 where it's like, let no man judge you for a whole steam one day and eat meat. If you remember in the first three books of Revelation, he said, abstain, you eating meat that was offered to idols. You doing what? Sexual, fornication. Those were the things he was told. Because why? All through the scriptures, even Egypt back during the wilderness time, what? They hooked up with the gods of Moab. Remember, they offered, they ate idols, ate the food of idols, and was having what? Unlawful fornication, which I always call it adultery. So it's nothing new under the sun. And he just brought that all the way back. So every one of them books, if you get a chance, every one of them books, or every one of them seven assemblies in Revelation, if you just go and read what he told them to beware of and repent from and return, come out of her, my people, you can go read them. You can go see what he told the Thessalonians, Colossians, Romans, Corinthians, the church of Corinth. Nothing is new under the sun. Everything goes back to what? The Old Testament that he gave to what? His prophets and lawgivers. And all the way up to fast forward to that where he came and told John on the island of Patmos where it's nothing new. It's the same thing, the same transmission all the way from Genesis all the way up to right there. They told us, get ready. You do these things, you stay fast until the end times come. Because this is how you be redeemed. This is how you be saved and live. By just being obedient to the ways of the Most High and doing the things that he commands. We don't have to do nothing new. So that's where the training of the mind, Brother Ariel was bringing around, Brother Dale around, the rabbi with the human nature. Because we had to be prepared because we're in a world where the majority rules and we're like, you know, a very few, but that's why we're encouraged by a story like Elijah. When Elijah said it was only 7,000, Yahweh had to tell him, like, you're not the only one by yourself. But on that note, family, that's all. Just wanted to clear up some things that I said last month and then bring out some things that Yahweh shared with me Sunday when I was looking at the first three books of Revelation, that it's nothing new under the sun. He didn't tell John anything, nothing new. It's the same thing that's been going on since Israel was back in the Old Testament. In the New Testament letters, epistles that he wrote to Timothy, James, nothing has changed, and we just have to stay fast and keep going. Blessed are you, Yahshua, Almighty One, King of the universe. May this month be the end of our travails, a start and a beginning for the redemption of our souls. For you have chosen your people, Israel, from all the nations, and you have set forth the decrees of the new moons for us. Blessed are you, Yahshua, unto sacrifices, who sanctifies Israel and the new moon. Father Yahweh, continue to watch over us and bless us through this last month of Adar. As we come up on the 14th and 15th of this month, Kurim will come up, that we can read the account of Esther in the book of Esther. And we can glean from that and learn from the book of Esther the importance of calling out on you, waiting on you for your deliverance. Let us know that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Watch over our spiritual leader, this family. Watch over all the Kohen. Like I said, strengthen my brother, Chef Well, Brother Godfield, and his family. As he's at the hospital with his mom, as we're listening right now. Continue to strengthen Sister Naomi and the Barrett family as she recovers. Hallelujah. Continue to strengthen Sister Debbie, Brother Dale Well. Continue to strengthen all the brothers where they needed that physically, mentally, emotionally, and financially. Watch over all our Zycans and all the young adults in Beth Yahweh, all the children and our family members. Continue to use us as your lights in this darkened world and help our unbelief, power. Remove the spirit of fear to your son, Yahushua, our soon coming King, Redeemer. Amen.
Just as sure as you born, this is